real and so rich and so fulfilling to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Dan and I were blessed to have some time away in the last week or so, time of just vacation time and refreshing, and it really truly was great to have that time. And that time of refreshing, and all of those who function here and stepped in and ministered, and I've listened to most of the CDs already, and was blessed by what was spoken in the house and ministered, and so thankful for those in this house that are full of the Word and are willing to give and to share of their heart, and the opportunity to be able to give people a platform and to hear what the Lord is saying through them. You know, sometimes it's not so much what they have to say as it is the opportunity to say it. You understand what I'm saying? And so you'll see from time to time that we'll, put different ones in. And I always have confidence in who I put in to the pulpit. But I love to hear what the Lord is saying to them. I love to hear what you're hearing. Amen. And one of the reasons I so enjoy our Wednesday night Bible study is because it's an open forum and people can jump in and share and give their perspective and their thoughts about a scripture. And it's just amazing that you'll just, have those aha moments and you'll say, I hadn't thought about it like that, but that makes sense. And so I love to hear the heart of the people and what they're hearing and what God is saying through them. We should not ever make the mistake that God only speaks through the pastor or only speaks through me or only through a chosen few, because God will speak to every vessel who has an ear to hear. Amen? And that's from the youngest to the littlest. Hallelujah. We have one who's 7 today who's going to get baptized. Hallelujah. And I sat down with him this morning and I said, well, tell me about baptism and tell me what you think it is about. And he said, it's about Jesus washing away your sins. And I said, yes, it is. And you understand that just as Jesus was died, you die. And just as Jesus was buried, you'll be buried. And just as he was resurrected, you're resurrected, a new creature. And that old person and old thoughts and struggles passes away, but you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said, yep. Hallelujah. So God is speaking to all ages and to all vessels. How many know it truly is about having an ear to hear what thus saith the Lord to his church and to his people? And we sometimes get caught up in thinking if it's not the greatest revelation. But how many know sometimes the simplest of words can have the greatest of impact? And it's not always about what you say, but it's in the spirit that you say it in and the heart that it comes from and the experience behind it. I mean, you can say a whole lot of things that you think or you predict or your theologies or your doctrines. But how many know if you've got some experience to back it up? See, you can argue doctrine or theology all day, but you can't argue experience. How many know the disciples said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Hallelujah. And so you can't take away from me what I've already experienced. We shared on Wednesday night a little bit about, when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and the transformation that came when the Spirit came into that room on the day of Pentecost and tongues of fire set upon them and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many know it was a dynamite power from on high that not only set upon them, but it filled the house. Hallelujah. And they began to speak and they began to operate. Hallelujah. And Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Your sons, your daughters, your old men, everybody's going to begin to hear an impartation and experience the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Peter goes on down to the house of Cornelius and he begins to just share with them his experience. Hallelujah. How many know your testimony is probably the most powerful part about you? I heard a few amens. How many know your testimony is probably the most powerful part about you because it's your encounter and your relationship with God that works for you? Amen. And so when he went down to the house of Cornelius, the scripture says he just started telling them those things which he had seen and witnessed and had experienced and knew. Hallelujah. See, if we go out and just tell those things that we have seen and heard and witnessed and experienced in our life, how many know if it is life-changing for us? It's life-changing for somebody else. And sometimes what we think is the simplest of things, other people think it's the most profound because they've not heard it or experienced it yet. And the scripture says, lo and behold, when Peter began to share his testimony and his experience, and he began to preach the cross, and he began to preach Jesus, that when you begin to preach Jesus, the Holy Ghost falls. And when the Holy Ghost falls, it'll do what it wants to do. Hallelujah. And Peter said, what are we going to do now? He said, we thought you got saved, and then we thought you got baptized, and then we thought you got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we thought that was the progression. But lo and behold, they got saved. Now they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's just go back and baptize them. Because just about the time you think you can put God in a pattern and in a box, he's going to bust out of your pattern every time. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful because I don't think we have to have a pattern or a ritual. Hallelujah. As God begins to move upon this house and begins to breathe upon the house with his presence and his glory, I mean, you know, things can happen and things can change, but he needs you to do it. He needs us to be obedient to his presence and flow with the move of the Spirit of what he wants to do in our house. How many know he's an awesome God? You said that today. I heard you. I heard you saying he's awesome. He's mighty. He's holy. Hallelujah. How many, praise changes things. If it doesn't change your circumstance, it'll change your attitude in your circumstance. Come on. Hallelujah. It'll change your attitude in your circumstance. And so there's sometimes you've got to break out in a little crazy praise. Hallelujah. And you can break out in crazy praise here if you want to. Yeah. You can break out in crazy praise at home. Yeah. You can break out in crazy praise in your car. Yeah. Hallelujah. I like that movie Sister Act when they start to get singing those songs and she starts to get a little shoulder action there. You know, it might just start with a little shoulder action. Whatever works for you. Hallelujah. You know, you might want to cut a rug, as my dad would say. Cut a rug. That's probably an older statement, isn't it? Hallelujah. My grandma would say you just get the far. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get a little shoulder movement. Sometimes you get a little chill. Holy Ghost goosebumps. Hallelujah. My daughter says a come to Jesus moment. I mean, no, sometimes you just got to have a come to Jesus moment. Hallelujah. But the presence of the Lord is real and alive. And we were driving back from, I don't know, one of the trips we've been on here lately. And I looked over the car beside me and there's this lady going down the road and she's just singing away because there wasn't nobody else in the car. So I'm guessing she's singing and not just talking to the dog or somebody. Hallelujah. And I had to laugh. I thought, because that's probably me some days just going down there looking like I'm all crazy. Hallelujah. But just singing to myself. I mean, but nobody in my car when I'm there by myself really even cares if I sing on key. Hallelujah, because the moment you think it's about the biggest and the best and the most talented, you've missed the presence. Hallelujah, and that's why I love the song about his presence. David said, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit in me. He said, do whatever you got to do with me, Lord, but don't take your presence away from me. I don't want to live one moment without his presence. Hallelujah. And so I'm excited about what today holds for this house and for Word of Deliverance as we stand and baptize those who have made the decision to come and be baptized. I love baptism service. I love new beginnings. I love fresh starts. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know there's always time for a new beginning? And there's always time for a fresh start. We talked about baptism already for a little bit and the significance of that. If you're not sure, don't understand baptism, in this house we do immersion only because I believe that it's symbolic of our death, our burial and our resurrection with Jesus Christ. As Scripture says, to reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And if you be buried with him, you'll also be risen with him. How many know we are crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, we live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. And so we realize it is symbolic that just as he was crucified and died and buried, he was resurrected into new life. And it's all about new life and new beginnings and new starts and a new creation and a new creature in Christ Jesus. I mean, there's sometimes in your life you just need to bury some things. Sometimes you need to bury some hatchets. Sometimes you need to bury some unforgiveness. Sometimes you need to bury your past memories. Sometimes you've got to bury some skeletons. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to bury some habits or some addictions or some struggles. Hallelujah. And how many know you got to reckon those things to be under the blood?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That Jesus took your afflictions. He took your suffering to the cross. He gave his life so you didn't have to. He died for you. Hallelujah. But he also died as you on the cross of Calvary so that you could have new life, that you could have life more abundant. How many are ready to live an abundant life?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we get the mindset sometimes that we are weary pilgrims passing through. You know, we've sing those songs sometimes. I'm just a weary pilgrim passing through. But, I mean, I believe we can have the time of our life in the life of Christ. And I'm not talking about getting all crazy, because how many know that's not the time of your life? Some of those crazy things have some consequences and some things that come with it that you just don't even know to need to go there. Hallelujah. But how many know life is in Christ? I believe we can prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. I believe that we can have the greatest life on the planet through the person of Jesus Christ and the life that he gives us, the life that I now live. I live after the Son of God. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for life in Jesus. I'm thankful for fresh starts, new beginnings. I'm thankful for that I don't serve a God of a second chance. I serve a God of another chance, because I've already had a second chance. So now I need another chance. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just about one mistake or whatever, and it's about our life in Christ, and it's not about how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up. Hallelujah. And so, you know, sometimes in our life, we've got to make some decisions to make some changes. Anybody ever had to make some changes in your life? Hallelujah. Change is hard and wonderful all at the same time. Amen. I mean, it's hard and wonderful all at the same time. We've been doing a little bit of change at our house, and it gets difficult because you've got to take everything out of that room and fix whatever it is you want to fix and then put it all back in there. So sometimes the temptation is not to change anything because it's just going to take some effort. I need to do some painting. But before I can do that, I got to clear that room out. And I got to make some preparation for change. Amen. So change is not always easy. It's not always great. But the end result, when you can go back and look at it and say, look at the change I made. How many know it's worth the effort and the sacrifice? But you got to start on it. There's got to be a starting date. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, you know, the power of God to change our lives and to bring us into new places and new eras and new directions in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm a person that likes change. Like I said, I like change and despise it all at the same time. Because change is uncertain sometimes. Amen? And so God puts you in a place sometimes where you've got to change, but it's uncertain because you don't know where he's changing you to. You don't always know the direction he's moving you in, and you don't always know what the results of that are going to be. And sometimes you think God forgot about you and left you hanging. Amen? And, you know, and it's easy to go back in your life and to look at your life in hindsight, as Terry was sharing some things this morning, and you say, oh, God, I see what you were doing in hindsight, but I don't always know what you're doing out front. And how many know sometimes it's best you don't know? Because you probably would fight it harder if you did. Hallelujah. But when you trust him, or you try to force it to happen When we just let go and let God have his way, amen, and lead us in the direction and the path. You know, sometimes God closes doors. Anybody ever had God close some doors? And you think, God, that's where I was heading. That's where I wanted to go, and I don't understand. And we find ourselves standing there banging on the door, trying to open doors that were closed to us. When we'll find the avenue and the direction that God's taking us, we'll find out what was behind that door needs to stay behind that door, because God had bigger and better things in store for you and in mind for you. And sometimes his thoughts are bigger than your thoughts, and his ways are higher than your ways. And when it seems like every roadblock has been put in the way and nothing's happening, you say, God, I'm just going to step outside around that door, and I'm going to find me an avenue that you're taking me in, and I'm going to trust you in the journey. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, the journey is not always one that we know every step of the way. But the scripture says his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many know a lamp is right at your steps, your way? You don't always see way out there. You see what's ahead of you right now. Hallelujah. But the scripture tells us the steps of a righteous man is ordered of the Lord. Are there any righteous people in the house this morning? Now, come on. I said, is there any righteous people in the house this morning? I mean, we're righteous by virtue of one who is righteous who lives within us. He took my unrighteousness and he gave me his righteousness. So when I say in this house, are there any righteous in the house? Every one of you can raise your hand, because you have been made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ and the blood and the work of the cross. Hallelujah. He has made you righteous, which means he has put you in right standing and set you upright. Hallelujah. Anybody in here been set upright and in right standing with God? Hallelujah. So I'll decree to you this morning, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, as I was coming back, I was doing some reading, and I was asking the Lord where he wanted to go in this season, in this house, in the direction. And of course, I'm always seeking his direction in our Sunday morning arena, but also in our Wednesday night, because we kind of do a different path, or a little bit of a Bible study. So this, right now in our Wednesday night Bible studies, we're looking into the book of Acts. And so we started the book of Acts. So come and share with us and be a part of that on Wednesday nights at 7:30. But the Lord kind of, as I was thinking about baptism and things like that, I was thinking about new beginnings and change that comes into our life, and as God is directing. How many know even in this house it is a season of new directions and new change, because we're getting ready to go back to school and back in the classrooms and some of those things. So our kids are getting ready to transition out of summer mindset, and they're getting ready to go back into school, and our faculty and staff are in that same arena, and we're trying to get our minds back in that mindset and, you know, head in that direction. But I mean, no, there are times in our life where we just, God begins to take us in different directions. But I was thinking about the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and I was thinking about as Ezra and Nehemiah began to, how many know they were been taken away in Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar? And for 70 years, they had been in a place of captivity and had been estranged from everything that they knew that was important or precious to them. And they had been held in captivity. And while they were in captivity, everything that they knew of their temple worship, their altars, their feasts, and everything like that had been destroyed and had been broken down. Amen. In the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But the scripture says God began to stir the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to reestablish the house. Hallelujah. And so there were some people called Ezra and Nehemiah and some different ones who began to get a vision of going back into Jerusalem and building back what seemed like it had been broken down or torn down or had been destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. And so as they begin to view those things, how many know the word Babylon means confusion? A place of confusion. Have you ever been in a place of confusion in your life? Sometimes it can be, a confusion in directions. It can be confusion in the word of the Lord in your life. It can be confusion maybe in your house or whatever is going on with you. But how many know they were in Babylon, and Babylon is a place of confusion? Yeah. And they were there by reason of Nebuchadnezzar, which means tears and groans of judgment. How many have ever been in a place of tears? Just a couple of us have been in a place of tears. Hallelujah. Or a place of judgment or groanings. Hallelujah. And so if we're not careful, our Babylon can bring judgment and put us under a place of judgment in our life that we don't have any business being under. How many know your judgment was at the cross of Calvary? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so most of the time you're too hard on yourself and we're too judgmental of ourselves, and we pass judgments on ourselves or on other people that don't belong on us. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so they're in this place. And they were estranged from their land, their roots, their inheritance. Their temple had been destroyed, and everything they were raised to believe in reverence had been destroyed. Do you know anybody that's in that place right now? Hallelujah. And so it seems as if their families for 70 years had been in that place. And I was listening to my tablet as we was coming back and traveling. In chapter 2 of Ezra, it starts to say, let's just jump over there real quick. And so they rose up, and they had a spirit to go back and build the house of the Lord, which was in Jerusalem. And so they began to gather the things that they needed to go back, and people began to contribute to the vision of what needed to be done in Jerusalem. But it says, the title of chapter 2 says, those who return from captivity. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, and those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, which means tears and groans of judgment, had carried away, the king of Babylon had carried away unto Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. How many know they're about to change their address? Everybody say, we're coming out. Change of address, change of atmosphere. Hallelujah. And so God began to strengthen the hands of some of those who had been in captivity, who had seen the former house, who had seen the temple, and he began to stir the hearts of them to go back and say, we need to get back to what we knew to be life and presence and the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know anybody who's been carried away in Babylonian captivity? Now, I'm not talking about Babylon over there. I'm talking about being carried away from what was the true roots of who they are. See, I know some people that are in this place right now. Hallelujah. They're a little confused about who they are. They're a little confused about the direction they need to go. There's been some tears and some judgments that's been pronounced on them. But how many know God's beginning to stir the heart of people to say it's time to come back to what we know to be right, to be true, and to be the place God has purposed and destined for them. And so here's what I begin to hear is in chapter 2, it says, which came with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Reeliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bakvi, Rehum, Bana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. Now, all those names might not mean anything to you. That's okay. The children of Parosh, 2,000. And the NIV says it like this. The sons of Parosh, 2,072, they're coming back to Jerusalem. The children of Shephatiah, 372. The children of Era, 775. The children of Pahath Moab, of the children of Jeshua and Joab, 2,812. The children of Elam, 1,254. Now, all those names probably mean nothing to you, and that's okay. The NIV says it like this, and the sons of those people were returning back to a place of their roots. And of what was established and what was given to them of their inheritance. Here's what I heard the Lord say. Tell them the house of their sons are beginning to return back to a place that they have desired. Hallelujah. And as I heard him say, I heard him, the sons of these, they're coming back. The sons of him, they're coming back. The children of them, they're coming back. So I'm going to declare to you this morning, the house of Andy is coming back. The house of Wilda is coming back. The house of Jenny is coming back. The house of Eileen is coming back. What I want to say and declare to you this morning is God is stirring some things. There is a stirring taking place. And I heard the Lord say, tell them their descendants and their sons are coming back. back. Is there anybody in here this morning want to grab a hold of that and say, we're coming back? Hallelujah. Because, see, sometimes we can get ourselves in a place that it seems like, and my heart is stirred because I see people who And I'm talking about families who are praying with families. And how many know sometimes things just happen? But I refuse to let our children become a casualty to anything other than what God purposed in their life. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. See, you were born and you were purposed and destined for such a time as this. And I believe God is always calling us back to a place. But how many know somebody's got to get a vision of what the former used to be and get ready and say, you know what, I'm ready to rebuild some things. There may have been some things that were torn down. There may have been some things that were destroyed, but I'm ready to build back because I got some vision in me. I got some purpose in me. I got some intent in me that God wants to rebuild some things that seem like they have been broken down or taken or have been lost. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in this house that say, I'm ready for God to stir me up? Hallelujah, and stir up my household because my sons are coming back. My daughters are coming back. My children are coming back. My grandchildren are coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because God's purpose in this time and in this season that every house be established after his name and after his order. Do you believe that this morning? So in chapter 2, the whole chapter is full of people's names who are listed that their sons are coming back. Their children are coming back. I love that. Hallelujah. And it says, the word of the Lord in Ezra 1 is return. Hallelujah. Ezra's chapter 2, the sons are coming out. Families are restored. Tears removed. Judgment removed. Put your sons and daughters' name there. We're coming out of Babylon. Are you ready to come out of confusion or your household? Hallelujah. But how many know there were some things that they did in order and in sequence when they got back into the city? See, what they did when they come back into the city, they saw what used to be that had been broken down. But how many know somebody had a vision to build? Somebody had a vision to restore. Somebody had a vision of what could be. See, if we ever lose our vision for what can be, we will repeat what has already been. Hallelujah. See, you can't forget your history lest you repeat it. I mean, you got to learn from it, but you got to move on and you got to have some vision. So in chapter 3 of Ezra, it says, and when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brother, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. How many know the first thing that they had to do when they come back to the city was build the altars? The first thing that was restored when they come back and begin to build was the altars of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know you got to see yourself forgiven? You got to understand the purpose of an altar and the purpose of a sacrifice. How many know we sometimes get put off by the word repentance? How many are thankful for repentance? Yes. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for an opportunity to repent? Amen. Hallelujah. Not just for forgiveness of your sins, and that's a great thing, but how many know we got to change our minds sometimes? And when sometimes with change of mind comes change of direction, change of purpose, change of vision. Hallelujah. So the first thing they did was restore the altars. And it says, and they set up the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom of the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feast of the Lord that were consecrated, and everyone that willingly offered a free will offering unto the Lord. The next thing that they did after they restored the altars was they kept the feast or set aside some holy days. How many know you need to set your schedule to set aside some holy days? How many know it is important to come to the house of the Lord for the feast and the fellowship of His presence? The feast in the Old Testament were all about the encounters of the presence of the Lord and acknowledging what God had done for them. I mean, the Feast of Passover was about God bringing them out of Egypt. And the Feast of Tabernacles that they're about to celebrate here. How many know it's God's indwelling among them when they would come in booths and God would come and walk among them. And God would be their indwelling Savior and the life among them. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I think we don't value the coming together and the assembling of ourselves and setting aside of holy days. Amen? How many know there's an importance in that? We establish a pattern in that. We establish connection in that. We establish His presence among us. Hallelujah. And, you know, when we come together and we set aside that time, that's a time of refreshing. It's a time of renewing. It's a time of rebuilding. How many can say God rebuilds and restores and renews some things in you when you come together in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. So they had to set aside some holy days. Let me go ahead and read here a little farther. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them in Zidon, to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons, his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, and the sons of Judah together to set forward the workmen in the house of God. How many know, notice here that he's saying he stood together with his sons, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, was established, was restored. But many of the priests and Levites, the chiefs of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So I may know as they began to establish, number one, that they wanted to come back to the house of Israel. They had been without the presence. They had been Babylonian captivity. They had been under judgment. But how many go, God began to restir and to restore some things. Hallelujah. And I'm ready for God to stir and restore some things that seem like they've gotten caught in some Babylonian confusion. Hallelujah. See, I don't want any of our children ever to become a casualty to anything other than what God has called them or purposed them to be in this house and in this time and in this season. So as they begin to come back, one of the first things they did was rebuild the altars. Hallelujah. And they began to establish the altars. And then I said they began to establish the feast and set aside holy days for worship. And they put burnt offerings. Hallelujah. And then the scripture says, and they began to bring free will offerings. How many know what we believe in will invest in? Invest in what you value. You can't go where you don't sow, and what you don't support goes away. Hallelujah. How many know if you believe in it, you need to invest in it. You need to sow into it. Hallelujah. You need to understand the value of it. And they began to get behind the vision, and they began to get behind the work, not just with their labor, not with their just okay to proceed, but they got behind it with their money, their talents, their energy, their time, and said, you know what? We believe in what we're doing, and we're going to get behind it, invest in it, and be a part of what God is doing. Hallelujah. I mean, no, they put money or resources into the hands of the builders, the masons, and the visionaries. Right. Hallelujah. 20 years old and older began to build with the elders. I mean, no, we need generational input. Right. We need all generational input. Hallelujah. The youth had the strength and the creativity, and the elder had the wisdom and the experience. How many know you can't go wrong without the strength and the energy and the ideas of the young, but the wisdom and the experience of the old? How many know we can flow together in this house, in a generational house? Hallelujah. And how many know sometimes we got to think a little bit differently than what we used to think? Hannah and I were just talking a little bit this morning and talking about the house and different things like that. And I said, you know, when we built 20 plus years ago, we didn't have cell phones and internets and iPads and smartwatches and all of those kinds. How many know times are changing? How many watched Get Smart when you were a kid? Well, I guess we got smart because now we have. You know, we used to see those things on Get Smart where he talked into his watch and saw a little TV. Remember that? And now we have those things. I can pull up my tablet and sit down there right now and see Morgan through Skype. If she answers my call, I can talk to her face to face. We saw those kind of things growing up when we were kids. Amen? And I remember as a kid wondering if those people on that TV could see me like I could see them. I always kind of thought, if they could, am I the only one? Thanks, Joyce. Like, if I can see them, can they see me back here? Now they can, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so now we have those things. We have that technology, and we have different things. And I hand my tablet to Georgia, and she can do things on there that I don't know how to do. She has loaded stuff on my tablet. So now I have to be careful when I hand her my tablet. You know, because I know what I want that tablet to do, but she's got other ideas. She wants to play games, and she wants to match puzzles, and you understand what I'm saying. And so I have realized that I have come to the place in technology that I don't get it most of the time. I tried to upload some pictures to Shutterfly, and I have no idea where those things flew, but they flew somewhere. And I deleted before I realized they weren't all there, and so I don't even know. So, like, I'm not even safe with technology, okay? And so I'm learning. I'm trying to get there. But how many know we have people in this house that understand more about those things, okay? And so I can learn from them. And so we can share with wisdom and experience, but they can have insight and vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so our cultures are so quickly changing, and everything in our house changes and in our life and in our cycle. I mean, when I grew up, we didn't have microwaves. And we got a microwave that cooked a potato in 4 minutes. That was what sold us on microwaves. Dan come home and he said, honey, I used a microwave today. I baked a potato in 4 minutes. I said, we got to have one of those. Because it takes 45 minutes in an oven to bake a potato. Can we say amen? Fudge, you can make fudge in 1 minute in a microwave now. You can even bake chocolate chip cookies in a microwave if you want to, but we won't go there. Hallelujah. But how many know things change? And you've got to change with some things. Not everything has to be changed. You understand? There's some foundational things that they are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes how we present the gospel and how we operate in things like that, what we need to do is empower and put the resources into the hands of those who have the vision and know where to go and what to do, and empower them to do what God has placed in their heart to do. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did Jason ever have any idea he would be editing and doing TV stuff that he's doing today? But God has placed in his heart and giving him the vision and things like that. I mean, no, I don't have that ability. I won't say I don't have that ability. I don't have that ability right now. Because if I really wanted to do that, I would apply myself and I would find myself a mentor to tutor me to do what I needed to do, right? Because I have no doubt if I really wanted to do it bad enough, I could do it. Now, I want to do it while I'm young enough to remember how to do it next time I go to do it. Because that's the problem. My kids will show me something and they'll say, Mom, you just do this and this. Oh, that's not too bad. And then the next time I go back to do it, I can't remember what they told me to do. Yeah, you know how that works. So anyway, but how many know they began to empower the people, and they said, and that those from the age of 20 and up, and how many know God is stretching us in some areas, and he's giving us some vision and insight, and we're treading on waters we've not walked before. Hallelujah. That's not bad things. Those are good things. Hallelujah. But what I can't do, I can put the resources in the hands of somebody else to do. Hallelujah. And see God bring that about and to increase in the vision of the house of what he wants to do. Always to teach the next generation.
Yeah, that's the important part. Is mentor and cause the next generation to be farther ahead than what we were.
Hallelujah.
You know, I appreciate the fact that you are farther ahead than I am.
Just leaves a blank on the CDs. I'll get her on mic.
But I appreciate the fact that you're farther ahead in ministry now than what I am. But I was your mentor. I was the one that brought you to where you were able to do what you do today, which surpasses me far beyond. But, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles was held in the streets and in booths. And, you know, and I think that this new generation that is raising up is going to go to the streets with the gospel. They're not going to keep it in buildings like we have for over, you know, thousands of years. But they're going to begin to hear a new revelation. And it's not really a new, it's just being revealed now. But to this next generation, to win souls, and I think that's what's going to turn the world around, is when we begin to celebrate. And I've preached that for 20 years, that the next great move of God will be in the streets, where people are going out, winning souls, testimonies, witnessing, like you said before, and sharing, and not telling them they're going to hell. Just share what God did for you, what God did for me, what God did for somebody else that you know maybe. But I think that the next great move of God is going to be in the streets where, you know, it's not going to be confined to buildings and different places. I just believe that God's going to begin to move on a new generation to rebuild the house and set up a foundation that's going to rebuild the temple and rebuild the house. And you know, when we come into the house of God, that's what we're doing. You're rebuilding our temples. You're rebuilding our structure. You're making change where change needs to be met. You're doing things that's causing the temple to be rebuilt and reshaped to the way God intended it to be in the first place. God never intended to have buildings for him to dwell in. We are the temple of God. And God wants to dwell in us. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be a temple that he's proud of. I want to be a temple that somebody looks at me and says, well, there's a temple of God. There's a person of God. You know, there's a woman of God. Or, you know, that the things that God's going to do, it's going to be awesome, and I'm ready for it. I'm really ready for it, and I see God moving in different generations and different people, and like you said with our little seven-year-old that's getting baptized today. When I was 7 years old, I didn't know anything about baptism. Amen. But because of the mentors and the teachers and the people that we have set in place to rebuild the house of God, we're seeing the house being rebuilt, restructured, and changed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, the house that he's building is not a natural, literal temple. How many know that system in 70 AD was destroyed because God said, I want to come and build my house. I want to come up, take up my habitation in you. Hallelujah. And no more was the temple sacrifice and that system done, but Jesus came to fulfill that and said, I am that ultimate perfect sacrifice. If you remember in our series of the I Am, he came and said, I am the light, I am the bread, I am all of those things that under the old covenant, under the Mosaic system, were literal natural things. He said, I have become those things. I come to make all things new. Hallelujah. And so he's come to establish that house. The house that the Lord's building is not a physical, literal house on any geological area. The house that he's building is the house of his people that he's building. Hallelujah, and raising us up. And I believe God wants to raise us up as families. I believe he wants to raise up our household, our children, our seed, and our generations. Hallelujah, that our generations, as Psalm said, our generations will rise up, hallelujah, and call us blessed and rise up and bless the name of Jesus. There is no greater joy than to see your children walking after the ways of the Lord and the purpose of God being lived out in their lives and the blessings of God following them. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's our desire and our purpose in all of that. Hallelujah. One of the reasons we do our baptismal at the state park is because it's out and amongst people. Hallelujah. And so an opportunity to share with our community. Hallelujah. And the scripture says then they, after they brought the resources and they equipped those that had the vision, the builders, the masons, and all of those, and put the resources and the money in their hands. The scripture says they laid a foundation. How many know the foundation of your house is the most important part of it? Because if you try to build on a house that doesn't have a foundation, every other aspect of that house will be affected. If you lay a foundation, if I'm right, Ike, if you lay a foundation that's out of square, it's going to affect you every step of the way in that house. When you get ready to hang those cabinets, it's going to be difficult. When you get ready to lay that linoleum and it don't line up, it's because the foundation is out of square or it's not laid as according as it should be. I mean, no, we must have a foundation who is Jesus Christ. The scripture says there was a wise man and a foolish man. One built their house on the sand, one built their house on the rock, but the storms come to both houses. But the storm who built their house, the wise man who built his house on the rock, that even when the storms came, the house was secure. Hallelujah, because it had been established on the rock. You know, the scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Sometimes we wonder how old is old. Amen. I mean, you know, you say, how long, Lord? How old? You know, because, you know, we train them in the ways of the Lord. But I'll tell you, they don't ever forget those things. They may question them. They may question your methods. Or they may seem as if they walk away from them. But the scripture declares that if we'll train them up in the way that they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from those things. But it says, when the foundation of the temple was laid, all the people worshiped with a great shout, and the worshipers and the trumpets and the cymbals and all of those began to worship with a great shout. But what I loved, it says the elders wept for what was being restored, and the young ones shouted for what was yet to come. But all of them worshiped together. Now you got, I'm ending with this, so you got to listen to me, you got to hear this. It said the elders began to weep as they began to see the foundation being laid, because how many know they remembered what was. And they were weeping over what was being reestablished and set back up. But it said the young ones began to shout with a great shout. And they began to shout for what was yet to come and what the future had to hold for them. But here's what I love, and here is the greatest thing of all. It said the shouting was greater than the weeping, so that they could not even hear the sound of weeping in the house because the shouting was greater than the weeping. I come to tell you this morning, the shouting is going to be greater than the weeping. It may seem like you've been weeping. It may seem like you've been weary, and it may seem like you've been waiting for something to be done in your house. And I promise prophesy and say to this house, in this place, and in this day and season, your shouting is about to be heard louder than your weeping. Can you say amen to that this morning? Hallelujah. I want our shouting to be greater than our weeping. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I'm about to declare that the joy of the Lord is returning to households. It is returning to families. It is returning to children. I want to see chains broken. I want to see addictions gone. I want to see distractions out of the way. I want to see focus turned towards the house of the Lord. And I want us to be able to come together, the old and the young, with vision for the future and direction in this house of what God wants to do in and amongst our community and our nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Our theme for conference this year is we are better together. How many know we need every one of us pulling together? I want you to pray for my family. I want you to pray for my children. I want you to pray for my grandchildren. Hallelujah. The Lord woke me the other morning. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning and I needed to sleep. We needed to travel all day. And I said, Lord, what is it? What is it you're trying to say to me? If you've woke me for a reason, if you've woke me, there's a purpose to this. And I began to pray and I began to ask God and I go down to seats and every time a face would come to me, I say, God, I'm claiming that family. God, I'm speaking provision. God, I'm praying for healing. God, I release finances. God, I'm saying strength and healing in the house. God, I'm praying for directions and houses and financing and children and purpose and direction and callings and giftings and direction, and I'm speaking over this house in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If the Lord wakes you up at 5 o'clock in the morning and my face pops ahead, you pray for me because I'll take all of it I can get. If you think about me during your day, you pray for my family because I'll take every bit of it I can take. And when I see you and I see your children and I see them struggling, you don't have to worry about me criticizing them. You're going to know that I'm going to be praying because I'm going to say, God, I'm ready to be restored what it seems like has been lost. And I stand here and say, I will not submit to casualties in this house, but I claim our children and our households and our generations for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so as we celebrate today with people who are making the step in baptism or whatever it is, I want to tell you, I'm coming back. I'm coming out. And I'm going to stand and declare that we are not going to live in a Babylonian exile and a state of confusion with tears and judgment that Nebuchadnezzar would try to put upon us. But I'm going to stand and declare that our generations will rise up and bless the Lord and that our shout will be greater than our weeping. Hallelujah. That our shout will be greater than our weeping. Hallelujah. Is anybody ready to see our shout? Hallelujah. Anybody ready to shout with a great shout? Hallelujah. And our weeping is not going to be unto mourning, but our weeping is going to be when we stand up and say, how many know when Joseph stood, and you can stand to your feet with me. When Joseph stood, and the scripture said, and when his brethren were brought back to him after many, many years, and they were brought into the court, and Joseph had every right. He had every power, and he had position to have them killed, do whatever he wanted to do with those who had sold him out, cast him in the pit, threw him away, devalued his vision, criticized and mocked his dream. The scripture said he stood there, and when his brethren came in and bowed before him, and they didn't know who he was, the scripture said Joseph turned aside. He had a come to Jesus moment. And he turned aside and he wept and he said, I knew one day that dream would come to pass. I don't think he wept for what he lost. I don't think he wept over what his brothers did. I don't believe he wept over what he went through. I believe he turned aside and said, you know what? There was a day when I was just a little boy and I dreamed a dream. And everybody tried to convince me that that dream would never come to pass. But today, I see the fulfillment of that dream. And everything that God showed me today has come to pass. Hallelujah. How many know God used Joseph to be a deliverer? of the generations yet to come. I tell you this morning, you stand in the gap for your families, for your friends, for relationships. Hallelujah. But I declare that our shouting is going to be greater than our weeping. Our shouting is going to be greater than our weeping this morning. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in this place. Hallelujah. Let's just bless the name of Jesus for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray over households in Jesus' name. Lord, and I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, I pray over husbands that need Jesus. I pray over wives that need Jesus. I pray over children that need Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray over mamas and papas that need Jesus. Grandparents that need Jesus. Relationships that need Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, every door that should be closed, God, we honor closed doors. And Father, we look for open doors. Father, that you move, that you direct, and you guide us, Father, what you called us to do. Hallelujah. Because in your purpose, Lord, there's provision. Hallelujah. And Lord, for those in this house today that are weeping and mourning over those who seem like they're struggling, in Jesus' name, Lord, we declare to shout with them today. Hallelujah. We just shout with a great shout, God. Hallelujah. Because we declare and decree, hallelujah, that we're coming out of a place where our children would seem to be casualties. Hallelujah. We're building with what you purpose. God, give us wisdom to put the resources in the hands of those who have vision, those who have strength, that have energy, God. Lord, that we know your purpose and your direction in our lives, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go ahead and lift your hands and just pray over your families for a moment. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Kuranda mokul sika telala mohandai. Rima mama handai shika telala mohandai. Kuranda mokul sika telala mohandai. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. There's power in your name, Jesus.
There is power.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
There's power in your name, Jesus.
There is power in the name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. To break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Jesus.
Break every chain.
If there's one in the house this morning and you'd like us to pray over you, or if you've not received Jesus, if you want to grab a hold of something that you've heard here this morning, come on up. We'd be glad to pray with you. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There is
Bless
power
Jesus.
In Break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain. Break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.